This is serious.
This morning I heard a great this morning I heard a great little story, and the guy was sharing a testimony, and he was saying that pet store, animal store, you know, they got all this stuff in. But a guy put a sign out there, puppies for sale. The little boy saw the sign, he walked in, he says, how much are the puppies? And he says, anywhere from $30 to $50. He says, wow. Well, he went into his pocket, he only had $2.50. He said, well, can I give you this so I can see the puppies? And so he looked at the kids, he said, baby, come here, baby. And so the dog comes out, and these other little puppies are behind a lady, but there was this one that was lagging behind. And so the little boy says, what's wrong with that, the one in the back, you know? And the store owner said, well, the vet said when he was born, it was born with a hip socket, so he's always going to be walking like that. He says, well, can I buy that one? No. He says, no, yeah, I'll give you this one. He says, oh, no, I want to buy that puppy for the same amount that you want to sell the other one.
Wow.
Just because he has that, doesn't mean he's just as worth as the other one. Mm-hmm. He says, son, I give it to you. He says, I'll give you the $250 and I'll make payments on it. And he says, why do you want that little puppy, you know? And he raised up his pants leg, and he had a prosthetic knee, a leg.
Why
he says, because I understand, he's gonna need someone to understand his plight, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the man's eyes swelled up, and he heard that, and he said, wow. And so that little boy is the compassion. In Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was moved with compassion. Lost souls moved Christ to cry out to them, to seek them, to save them. Again, in the book of Mark, we see Jesus moved with compassion. And Mark 6:34 says that Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them. And then there was a story of the same thing that I was watching this morning, where, you know, this guy's a businessman, and he's in a hurry to get on the plane. Because he figured when he gets on the plane, he don't like to be disturbed. He wants to just, because he's got business and stuff that he wants to do. So he's climbing in. There's a guy that is in a wheelchair. So they rolled him up. But they didn't have the one wheelchair, special wheelchair, because they had to lift him up and put him on this chair and roll him down the aisle because the wheelchair was so big. So he was there like that, man, you know, because he wants to get to his seat and get going. And so finally, the chair came, and so while they were putting him on there, they let people in, and he sat down. And so the guy, they're rolling him backwards down the thing, and the guy looked at him and says, I'm sorry, you know, for, you know, this inconvenience. And his heart was moved. That says, you know, and so later on he got convicted, and he talked to the guy and all that. You know, how many times are we so impatient, or, you know, how we look at people? And I can't, even to this day, I can't stand it. I hear, because I too was like that, but I hear people say, these people don't want to work. You know, they're homeless because they want to be. You know? And I says, you know, how stupid can stupid be? How informed they are not, you know? And so, have we lost our compassion, you know?
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that was my topic. You shared came off with the lead off of that about that person that you went to see in the hospital, you know? So, a nursing home. So, where's our barometer of compassion?
What I have one for
you. Yes, sir.
How would you explain compassion to me? What is that?
Compassion is when you see somebody, you're like, oh, you know, you have feelings for that person, you have concern for that person.
Feeling for it, the intimacy or something.
I don't know if it's intimacy, but I don't know, but you know.
It's almost like feeling their pain.
Right.
And that's when you have somebody in your eyes off your own problems.
Like if you had compassion, he don't know, you know, it's something got to be deeper.
What it is forgetting about yourself and all your problems and all your situations and actually letting your heart
put yourself
be sensitive to the other person's needs and wants and you know, and hurts. And when you do that, you can't help but be moved with compassion. Because we've all experienced hard times and bad times and stuff. So when you see somebody that's down and out or hurting or whatever the situation, if we don't have the heart of God, we'll never be moved by it.
Yeah, that's the heart of God.
It's definitely, it's not a natural thing for most
that's
people.
That's what it is when you get rid of stuff, you get rid of all of
it. Yeah, you got to do that. That's the first step.
Say that again.
But we're all self-consumed.
Say that again. I didn't hear that. What you just said.
Get rid of the word of stuff that's in you, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I
said getting rid of the worldly stuff.
Oh, worldly stuff.
And you say
well, even that don't
sound. You know, yesterday at the shop, there's this young man that he was there for a mission, a ministry. Well, and he was waiting in the waiting room. And that was it.
It's a nice waiting room.
And apparently he was tired. And he fell asleep there. And so I go in there, and the walls were shaking. So he was snoring.
He was walking.
Oh, really?
Chopping down a fork.
That wasn't me in there?
And so I woke him up. I says, you know, I said, how did you want to do? He said, oh, well, he's tired or something. And I said, yeah, well, he needs to get his out of here because
he's scaring me.
No, he was in Tampa.
Oh.
So he had to get to Tampa.
Oh.
And he was staying there until 6 o'clock.
5 o'clock traffic.
Yeah. So I said, you know, so I woke him up, man, poor guy. But you know, that's the thing, compassion. He had compassion for the guy. He said, well, he's tired, man. So he was letting him shake the tools off the wall.
I always said, if someone comes to your house and falls asleep in your sofa, they're comfortable. So let them sleep.
You know, I prayed for compassion. Because I read that. And he looked out and he saw how many people were out there. And I was, and myself, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can't tell you. And he was moved with compassion. And I said, you know me, I would just see the headache. I go, where are we going to, that I think was one of the disciples said, well, where would we go to get the food? Well, we do this and with all the practicality of it. And I said, Lord, after 47 years, I don't have compassion. As much as I want. And that's when I started going down to the head of the rest. And I said, I'm just void. I've just done it all, seen it all, been it all, this and all. And, you know, we had a great time with the outreaches, right? But that season was over. I minister wherever I'm at, I try to minister. But I don't have compassion. And one of the guys, Dave, and I said, Dave, would you mind praying for me? He goes, you know, you're always welcome to come here at the Haven. Well, 4 years later, you know, my power got turned off, my water was turned off at different times. And it was like, now I leave my house going, man, it is cold in here. And I think, yeah, I think about Lori, who I knew, and she said, and she's leaning up against the wall out there. And I thought, well, I'll get a sleeping bag, and I couldn't find her or anything like that. But over 3.5 years, and then I just started deteriorating. Because like Jesus said, that as Andre would know, the gnosis was Jesus was God, and he kept bringing himself down and bringing himself, and then he took the image of a man, you know. And finally, I said, you know, I don't have anywhere I could go because my clothes stink. I hadn't washed clothes in a year because of washing machines. Everything was so gross. And all of a sudden I started relating and identifying. And I thought, well, that is this and that. But then I hit a point that I should have pulled out. And that, when Sam came in, it's like, that's when you need other people around you to fill. Now, I go places and they go, are you homeless? Because I look homeless. You know, I had the attitude of homeless. I had that poverty attitude. And so there's a place where Jesus came only to do the will of the Father. His bread was to do the will of the Father, and I lost perspective of that because I kept trying to help him. And after 4 years, I got so disheartened because I said, you know, they're in the same place they were when they began. But where are you at, Bill? I said, you know, you're doing that, you're doing this, you're looking at this. I said, you have digressed, but I did have compassion. I hurt when they hurt. I felt what they felt. I walked around and go, where do you go? Where do you go? And I learned more in that 3.5 years than I did with any schools or missions or anything. And I'm trying to get to the place of, yeah, I learned compassion. But God now is saying, hey, I'm bold. You know, unless they want to change, it doesn't matter who you have compassion on. And I'm learning now, that girl, when Romeo came out here, and that girl came out, I can spot a hustle like that. You know, I don't want nothing to talk to her. She's good looking. I don't even want to look that way. I'm getting my car. I'm flying out of here. Now I've gone the other way. You know, you see what I'm saying? That I spend from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock saying, Lord, what in the world? What in the world? You know, I've had everything, done ministry, this over here, that over there, there goes up here. And you know what the hardest thing for me? Well, why don't you have compassion on you? Why don't you start saying, I did the best I could, God. And you judge me. See what I mean? And he always seems to open doors or close doors or do things. And finally, I have to make a confession. There was two cancers in my life. And one you met last week. That was one of the guys. I cried because I was so connected to him. You know what I mean? That I just couldn't give up my friend. See, and you can say whatever you want to say, but, you know, I broke soul ties and soul bonds. That one in compassion. Are you following me? Sometimes a good thing can be your demise. And I prayed for compassion and I got it. But I should have been praying, Lord, if you want me alone, if you want me to be a millionaire, and I got to say this. I believe this group is real. Is this group real? Or are we just a bunch of ponies in here? So, I'll tell you what. I was at that meeting, and Mark, I said, man, I'm getting the hell out of here. And Mark offered me a cigarette. And I said, sure. And we set out, and I stayed at that meeting because Mark offered me a cigarette. And this is not about cigarettes. I had one cigarette this week. Yeah, you got the cool. No, that, I can quit anytime I want. I don't have an addictive. But you know what happened to me? I quit. I walk out the door, I see you with the cigarette. Guess what attitude I had towards Mark? I walked out that door, and I said, Mark, God, you're smoking a cigarette. And in my heart, I judged him. I quit. I said, well, I'd rather go back and smoke a cigarette and have my brother and be my friend and accept him, because I smoke for acceptance. I said, don't you get that attitude. Yesterday he gives you a cigarette and you're okay, and today you're righteous. And I'm sorry to say that sometimes when we think that we've overcome, we snob him. If I got too dressed up, I'm not coming to this meeting. You know? No, I drove it. You never saw it, but I drove a Mercedes. You get it? And I'd rather be in poverty and be stinky like I am right now and have a good heart. And now it's like, hey, are you hearing my crying? Do I know Jesus? Yes. Do I read the Bible? Yes. Do I pray in tongues? Yes. Yes, yes. But I better watch my heart, because God said you better love and you better forgive. And who else to forgive than the people that are constantly hurting you? Are you there?
You know.
Are you there? Is that what's okay with you guys?
When a person...
Whew, got that emotional read out.
When a person is transformed, they're transformed from the inside out.
Right.
Right?
Thank you.
And,
I didn't quit.
So as they change from their inside out, as God is doing that work within them, their ideas, the way they think, the way they do things is changed, is transformed. And then what's in the inside comes apparent in the outside.
Right.
And how they talk, how they dress, how they do this. Because they're representing the kingdom. And so, I remember a story about this missionary guy had one suit.
This is on me.
And that suit is the only suit he had. So he constantly cleaned that suit, pressed that suit. So every time he went to go preach or somewhere, he wore the same suit, you know? Because he was representing the king, you know? And sometimes, you know, we don't have to be...
Hurry up, catch up.
Yeah. We don't have to look like them in order to minister to them. And that's where the transformation comes into our hearts, you know? And, man, I remember one day in ministry, some of these guys would be dealing with that, you know, and then all of a sudden as they're being transformed and they're changed, you know, and all of a sudden one guy saw this dude, because what was in the inside came out. And it looked different, you know, it was clean and this and that. There was a lady in Women's Park. That lady will cuss you upside down and around, boy. I never seen a sailor. She was worse as a sailor, boy. And man, I tried to talk to her a couple of times. She cussed me like nobody's business. And I looked at her and said, wow. But I had a guy that was with us at that time, and he was always talking to her, you know, and she cussed him too, but you know what? He stood there. Every time we had a feeding, he would talk to her. And so they would talk. Well, one day him and I were at a restaurant, Danny, I think I shared this recently, and he tells me, I said, what? You heard that? That's that girl in that park. I couldn't tell who she was because she changed. Something happened inside of her that, you know, that she heard something. Whatever it was the Holy Spirit that changed that girl, baby, and she was transformed. And I could not tell her. She was beautiful and everything, man. And again, that's the power of the word, because the word, it's like a mustard seed. It falls in, and then it grows. And that's what we have to do. We have to.
If you want more, I got more.
We have to change our thoughts, our mythology, how we, you know. But anyway,
gotta bring it back. Yeah,
I'm done.
Bring it back.
You're done?
Of the round two?
I used to sing a song with a youth minister that there's something on the inside that's working on the outside.
Yeah.
You remember that song? That
yeah.
Song?
Yeah.
Powerful good. Song. Oh, what a change.
Amen.
My life.
Amen. Has anybody here been a missionary?
I've done missionary.
Dale Markham, I guess, is the missionary. Sometimes you want to change another country into what Americans are. You know. And that's why Hawaii is who it is. That was a little joke. But sometimes we want to change them into our image and not God's image. Love and compassion and mercy.
Or worse than that, we try to change them into the image we think God is. And yeah, we think God our own. You know,
this is a joke, but I went to Africa and it's hard for them to get them steeples up to the top of the thatched hats. It's a joke. And you know, your son was an example of that. Because was he a missionary? Or is he a Y-man? He went with Y-man?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Well, he went really for training for 3 months and then he climbed rocks.
Right. Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
And he ministered to his friends or different people that were there. La la la. So we're changing our definition of what the church is and what God's people are. And what God's people wear. I'm not putting anything down. And there is a demarcation. If it's illegal, maybe you shouldn't do it. If I had to say anything after 4 years of being on the street like that, I'd say if it's illegal, then don't do it. And the one thing I'm hearing, like, one thing I know is that lawlessness breeds without a moral code. See? And now it's like, hey, she takes the bus from Treasure Island. I gave another girl a ride and says, yeah.
Any water back there?
And you know what I'm doing. So is there lawlessness in your life that you justify? That's the heart. Oh, it's okay for me. But see, everybody else, that insurance thing, I've got a car, but I have to walk my kids. Have you seen that one? I got a car, but I don't have enough to shave my head. I mean, I for a head. I said, well, if you don't have enough for your car insurance, then maybe you should just walk. And that little bit of lawlessness now spreads out to this and to that, and then la la la. Are you following? How you can fall away from, Lord, I want to be like you and all that, too. I'm a very experienced criminal.
Thank you.
So that's where the accountability in my coming. I keep saying this to you guys. I am Seattle.
I'm so sorry.
I come to you guys for some kind of accountability. You're doing what?
It wasn't parent.
You're moving people that have crack pipes in your car from this location to that location. You're actually going to get this stuff because you're a friend. And you said, well, that's a little bit. So, hey, if nothing else, Bill, if it's illegal, I said, if you're carrying it, don't get in my car. Well, I'm not carrying it. I just have 5 crack pipes. I tell them don't smoke in my car. They take a hit outside the car, and they get in the car, and blow it out of a hole. That's really good. Yeah. Are you following me? Until they finally piss you off enough that, like, they have no bearing. The street people don't have any bearing. They sit right out there. I eat here all the time. They sit right there and do crap, or they do. He's had to quit. I've literally seen this. He's run out the door and say, hey, you don't smoke that stuff in front of my front door. They have no bearing. They have no.
So lawless.
Right. The social things.
You know that old saying?
So what can we do about that?
Yeah, you know that old saying? I don't know what you guys feel about it. Tell me who you walk with, and I'll show you who you are.
What?
What do you feel about that?
Say it again.
Tell me who you walk with, and I'll show you who you are.
I ride. So I
birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
Then birds?
I'm a bird. Or birds of a feather flock together.
So I'm just like you guys? Oh, man.
Hey, right now. Right here, right now.
You think the biblical term fits for them? Lost sheep? You think that fits?
It broke my heart. After all the schools and all the stuff, it literally, somebody said, you're just disheartened. What's that word when you're disbroken? You're disheartened, you're disillusioned. I thought, I just pray and fast and be good to them and help them and they can stay at my house and take a shower. No, the goodness of God. I missed something there, didn't I? The goodness of God.
We try to fix people. And we think that by being with them, that we're fixing them. But in most cases, what I've seen is the reversal. Mm-hmm. Instead of fixing them, they're fixing you.
Right.
They're bringing you back.
Right. I think Paul said it the best. He says, follow me as I follow Christ.
As I follow Christ, right.
If you're not following Christ 100%, how can you ask somebody to follow you?
That's why I said, lead by example. You're into Christ, they're interested. They see it in you. So they want to know more about it. They get the bug, they call it.
And I like that because, you know, if they see a change in you, then they want to walk out of that. But instead of changing them, they're changing you. Now you're looking like them. Yeah. And you're talking like them. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, like for example, I have to watch myself. Right now, I have to watch myself more so because I'm working an allergy. I'm exposed to all sorts of dangers over there, you know? And
wear a hat.
Man, wear a hat. Wear a suit. Armor suit.
And foot guards.
You walk through there, and I'm glad you did something about that, because I said, damn, man, these people put stuff out there, and you got jagged edges going by, you get cut your arm, your hands, and all that, and I saw that they cleaned out the, And so all of a sudden you start those words that you didn't think you knew that came back, and you're working on a thing, and so anyway, you have to kind of watch yourself, So it's a good training ground for a wannabe.
For the flesh.
Yeah, for the flesh.
Yes.
And
Volkswagen.
Sir, excuse me, I'm speaking.
I'm having a show.
Yeah, you're having a.
I'm showing
a
scar as
a mechanic. Okay.
So anyway, so again, the thing is that you have to be an example. Not them taking you down. You need to bring them up. These things come down to be like them, even though he walked like them, but there was a difference. They knew who he was by the way he carried himself, the way he talked, the persona that he had. And so when we're in the ministry and we're trying to help those people out there, I mean, you're going to the nursing homes and you're praying for these people that need help, but you're not crawling in the bed with them. It looks like that.
Well, I only had one offer in 13 years.
What kind of guy is he?
When we talk about the Word of God, the Word of God transforms, the Word of God changes the person from the inside out.
Hey, you're
and these things we have to leave in the back. Periodically we have a testimony of something that we did. But you know what? I got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because when I be bringing, would I be?
That's Chicago. We know.
That's
Chicago.
When I'm bringing back some of the stuff, am I glorifying that?
What are you talking about?
Fruits of the
flesh.
Fruits of the flesh or whatever the thing. Yeah. Am I glorifying that or am I glorifying God?
Well, are you spending 25 minutes on the what you used to do and only 5 minutes giving God the glory?
Yeah.
Or is it the other way around?
Yeah. And that's where we have to change our minds, our hearts, and all that. I had a Peter call me this week, and that was the day I cut the grass, and I heard my cramps all over my body. Anyway, but I was at home, and So we had a long conversation, and actually some of he was yelling, I was yelling, you know, the way we talked to each other, but you know, Peter's a hard hit.
I wish
you
did, I like it.
And we brought back, he brought us back up and said, you know, here, look, man, that, you know, we have to move from this into this. When we keep bringing back the past, we're glorifying the past. What is God doing for you now? What are you doing for God? What testimonies do you have of, you know, this gentleman that was sitting in your office yesterday, he's a missionary. I asked him something. Have you led people to the Lord? He's been a missionary 2 years. And you know what his answer was? I'm not there yet. I said, well, you're a missionary. And you ain't missing nobody. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a prerequisite, isn't it? Make disciples. And I don't think, you know, Andre, I don't think people understand what that's about. You know, well, that's the pastor's job, or there's this. That is every one of our jobs. If we walk around and we can say that we have never led nobody to the Lord or pray with something, and there's something wrong with your theology. Because it's not about you, or I don't know. It don't have nothing to do with you, man. It has to do with what God can do in you, through you. And so, you know, and me, is he, you know, I wasn't like that. At one point I went to my life, I didn't want to talk to y'all, anybody, unless they were Latino or something like that. And then God brought me through that, and man, I can't help but talk to somebody about Jesus and tell them what he did in my life, the transforming power of what he did, not talk about what I was, but I'm going to tell you what he did in my life, and that's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. My God, if the conversation is only about what, you know, no, it's a transforming power of what God has done in your life. Who have you ministered to? Who have you talked to? You know, if your conversation is in the bar all the time with the people and all that, you hang around with them and you start looking like them, you start smelling like them and all of that because, you know, and no, man, you know, we're supposed to be a light into the world, and as a light into the world, there's a transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to transform and change people. I don't care what person's done, I don't care what degrees they have, I don't care how many schools of theology they've been to, if that ain't jack, if they ain't sharing the gospel, because the real thing is sharing the gospel. And my God, if you ain't sharing the gospel, what the heck are you doing? Why do you even bother going to church?
What's going on now?
Sorry.
Stand up. Okay, this is the accountability group, right?
Yeah.
All right, so it's like, and I really like to hear from Joe, because I know he's...
Well,
what I'm seeing is accountability is, have you shared Jesus or some form of Jesus with somebody or something this week? Can you honestly say, yeah, I said, hey, you know, this is how I believe, but boom. And just like we were memorizing scripture, remember I said about this, whether it's called a spade or a shovel, we're trying to dig the hole, and I have to, and that's the condemnation. See, did I really share Jesus? They knew I was a pastor. They knew what I stood for, but their needs were greater than I need a pastor. Okay. Well, this week I can say, hey, there's two people I got to share the little Jesus. She got to listen to that same worship. Kathy, last Friday, got to listen to that worship music. She said, I really like that. What was that? So that was most
important. LSE was going to say something when you interrupted.
So that's the accountability. Are we doing it?
Phil.
Yeah. I was just going to say, as you were talking about, you know, who we hang around with and stuff, and there's a simple little saying in the world. You know, friends are like elevators. Good ones will take you up and bad ones will bring you down.
That's right.
So sometimes you really got to check your heart and say, who am I hanging with?
Yeah.
Are you being an influence to the people you're hanging with, or the people you're hanging with being an influence to you? And it's hard to be an influence for the good, you know what I mean?
You got the choice.
But, you know, as far as what you were saying about sharing the Lord, It should just come natural. When I talk to people on the phone, I'm naturally saying, God bless you, or have a blessed day. When they come in my office, it's the same thing. When I write an email asking somebody about a stupid car, I always put, you know, thank you for your time, God bless you, you know what I mean? And it's just become part of me. I mean, I can't separate one from the other, you know?
And that's the transformation. Andre, you have a word?
Reading in 1 Samuel, and you look at the Israelite nation, and they're the ones who are stepping back and afraid of the giant. What's your giant in your life? What's your giant in your life?
Yeah.
And here, David comes along, and I'm just going to read just like two verses. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will take you down and remove your head from you."
Amen.
That was perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
But everybody else was standing back,
yeah,
afraid.
Yeah.
The mighty army of Israel.
So,
yeah,
what has God given to you?
Yeah, and you know,
He's
beautiful.
He's given to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. It ain't in Phil.
Right.
It's in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So that's why we always got to back up to the promises Lord of God. Because otherwise, we're going to look to our own promises, and they mostly suck.
Amen.
You know, yeah, it's easy to veer off the path.
Yeah. You know,
it's really easy.
It is.
I'm not going to say it.
You know, David anyway, the thing that I'm talking about, like what you were saying with there, is that David, Saul, wanted to give David's armor. And he said, "Look, man, this ain't gonna fit me. See, what you got may not fit me. And so I have to walk with what God has given me." And that's the thing. I can't beat LZ or whoever. I can't, you know, Andre. I can't be that. I gotta be who I am.
Yeah.
Now, who I am doesn't always jive with other folks because, you know, I can't help it. I'm a sheer driver.
See? David had the experience. He's seen the armor of Saul. It wasn't what he was used to. It was bigger than, it was cumbersome. But he knew the armor of God.
Yeah.
Protect him from the bear, the lion, everything else.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with what I know.
But most of all, what he had was faith. Well, he had seen what God would do. The lion and the bear and all that. His faith was strong.
Right. And that's what we have.
Garland.
You know, that's what we have, and that's what we have to. We can't go into the bar and minister the gospel and supposedly minister the gospel, come out smelling like they are and talk like they are, and doing the things that we did. We have to have a transforming change in our lives, that we are no longer that old man. We're the new person because we've been transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much knowledge a person has, how much school they have, and whatever. And you know, there's a lot of people that are walking out in the streets there. They got more, have a lot more education, either in the secular world and in the Christian world, but they're still walking out there because it was up here, but it never got down here.
Right.
You know, and that's where it's supposed, worse. But you know what, in between here and here, sometimes there's a little hiccup. And then that little hiccup there, you know, things happen. But you know what? The thing is, the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ resurrects you, brings you back. You know, how long are you going to stay here? How long are you going to stay in the bottom of the pit there, in the belly of the whale? How long are you going to be there?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you're going to hide in the cave for Jezebel.
That's it. You know, you're going to hide. Yeah, that's ridiculous. And so, how long are we going to be there? Ridiculous. Come on, man. The glory of God, man, is in us. It's just shining us, gives us a power in the love of Jesus Christ and the compassion of that little boy for that little doggy that he had a bad hip, and that the little boy had said, I understand his hurt. You know, I mean, you ain't got to be there to be there. You know what I mean? You don't got to have a broken arm, broken this, broken that, to be there with the love of Christ.
But the, you know, I would have to say that it doesn't state this, but the Holy Spirit had to come upon David to do that.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, here he is, you know, he's this little guy, he's the last of the last, and his father sends him to go bring cheese and bread. And so, what kind of training was his father giving him that he believed and none of his brothers believed? Yeah, I think it was stated like six or seven brothers there. So, you know, like three were the oldest that were there, and the others were back in the farm. And then sent David, you know. And was his training unique? Why was he the one out in the fields? You know, all of us seem to have a natural, supernatural gift. And that's the difference that, you know, like when you said, I can't be what somebody else is, I have to be. And that's the way God made it. We are to be who God made us to be, seasoned, flavored by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. See, because that's the only thing that's going to change the inside, that's going to then come out. And that's what is effectively touches people's lives.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if you're in places that, like a bar or something like that, are you like them in the bar, or are you talking about Jesus? Your hope. You know, I've met many a drunk or many a people in the nursing home who, they ain't right in this world, but they trust Christ as their Savior. You know what? I ain't touching that thing. Because, you know, the man who was a thief next to Jesus says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He wasn't confirmed, he wasn't baptized, he wasn't immersed, he wasn't sprinkled, he wasn't even tinkled. You know?
Yeah.
And so here's this man who's a thief who simply believed. Now that's the key. Wherever I read in the Old and the New Testament, it's they who believe. And in this sense, David believed. Not only believed, but put his... I would really say that he, like you said, he prophesied what was to happen.
Absolutely.
Now, how did he know that this rock would impale into the giant's head? I don't know. You know? All I know that he had a faith and believed that the God of Israel was stronger than this giant.
You know, I look back in ministry, and the things that the Lord allowed us to do and not me knowing. You know, like for example, many times, oh, we can't do that. And I said, why? Oh, we don't have this, I have that. I said, well, God provides. And we always did it, and then God always provided and gave us some hope. And so when you walk by faith, not by sight, then you can walk through mountains, because you're walking in the power of God. If God said it, I believe it, I'm going to do it, it's done. And that's the way God operates, man. And if we can't walk by faith, Frederick Price, you got to walk by faith, not by sight. And so, you got to have the faith, man. If you don't, you know, all you're doing is you're trying to do something that somebody else did. But if you go ahead and walk by faith, like what God called you to do, you're not called. I'm not called to be this and that. I'm called whatever God wants me to do right there. You know, LZ's got a pulpit right there where he's at. You know, and he's done a lot of other stuff, and he's hopping around right now because he thought he was Superman. And but you know, hopefully he learned from that. But anyway.
Couple days over,
you know. Yeah, amen.
Thou shalt use thy ladder.
Thou shalt stay off roofs.
Thou shalt use thy ladder.
Or have a spotter.
Look before you leap.
And have a spotter.
Have a spotter.
But anyway, you know, those are the things that I saw this thing here this morning. I was looking for something in the morning. And about that little boy that looked at that little dog that had a bad hip. So he was just like him. So he could understand his pain. And he could comfort him as he comforts him, you know. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And you know, I told a story of going to a Promise Keepers conference, and I met this young man sleeping in his car because he wanted to go to the conference and he didn't have money for a hotel. And I don't just take nobody home, but you know, the Spirit of God just kind of led me, even though I was afraid of my wife. When my wife comes in, who is this? Oh, he's our house guest. But
what I told you.
Yeah. But then later on, the Holy Ghost showed up, and there was here because I was led by my heart and by the Spirit of God, and that's what we have to do. Walk by that, you know. I don't care. We always want to be around those new converted people that are fired up for God. And they can do everything. That was good, man. You know, they're excited and stuff. You know, we like those guys. You don't want to fizzle, those guys will fizzle down. You know, that's what happens, you know, so. But anyway, that's my story. I was thinking of it. I gave up too much, dude. Amen.
That's often been said. What if you could do anything you wanted for God and you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do? You know, we could all come up with 101 things, right? But the truth is, that is the truth. If you do anything for God and God is in us, you can't fail. I mean, David knew that God was going to guide that rock somehow. He didn't foresee it, but yet he prophesied it. You know what I mean? Knowing the character of God from all the times before he'd saved him, that somehow taking them three little rocks out of that river he got, didn't always would take one. And God finally guided it right where it had to be, landed in the right spot, and he fell down, and the rest is history, as it said.
I'm always amazed that, you know, well, a slingshot, and that's basically what it is. And that it could impale in the brain and through the
hardest part of the body.
You ever smack your head, you know. Wow. How fast is that thing going? It's like it was a gun.
Oh yeah.
You have experience. The key thing to this for me is this. We went to feed the brother. I can't.
Hey Joe.
Hold on a second. I can't hear what he's saying.
The main thing is he went to feed his brother, but look who all he fed, because they were all in fear. When he ended up, he said, now that they know that there is a God in Israel, they come to know. So that's the bread of life right there.
I tipped her already.
Amen. I called a friend of mine down in the south side, Jerome. And Jerome worked with me in the Dream Center, and he was
Jerome Brown.
I don't know. Is he black?
Yeah, he's black.
Okay, but I don't know if it's the same one.
Well,
but anyway,
he's a minister now. I used to work with him.
Well, he does a food ministry.
Jerome used to be with Habitat, man.
No. Okay. So anyway, I called Jerome. I said, so he worked with me at the Dream Center, and he learned what I did, and what a great helper. He was one of the best cooks I had. Well, he's got his own ministry now. He's got his own 501. So I called him the other day. I said, Jerome, you're the first person I called. Getting ready to do something out there.
soon. As soon as I get it all together, you're the first person I'm gonna talk to. You know, and so you know, he's the first person. Why would I call him?
Dependability.
Yep.
He'll be right there, back in your
and heart. Yep. And dependability, heart for the glory, and to do. You know, and that's why I will call him. I mean, I got some other guys down there, like they you know. They're there, and they're good people. But this guy, to me, showed the heart because of the transformation that he went in his life. Mary has his ministry in there and doing all these years, you know, and he loves God. And to me, that's what I would call people like that, you know. But everybody has a spot in that wheel. You know, everybody has a spot in that wheel. And when we are still in the same position a year from now, 10 years from now, those other guys are still, they're there, they're good people. I'm not saying they love God or whatever, but this guy, you know, wanted to be more than just being a good person. He wanted to do something, you know? That's why, you know, I'm glad I haven't done anything with the chaplain thing and yet, and but I said, I'm doing it anyway. I'm in the hospital all the time. I'm praying, you know, doing things and all that, you know. If anybody's asking me to do something, I said, you follow me. You know, I had lunch with one of the guys there. They wanted to be a pastor at the church, or wants to have a laundry ministry and all that. I said, well, I've done all that. I'm not interested in it. It's not good enough for because, you know, you just hit it and that's it, you know. But I told him, I said, look, I'll help you. When you want to walk the streets with me, call me. Because we'll go back down in the hood and we'll walk around and scout the area. Because I want to do an outreach out there. You know, with cooking and all that. Hopefully get some of the chaplains or other people to come out. And if they want to come out, you know. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know.